This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I was in Malaysia a couple years ago, and after every prayer, almost all prayers, there's a dua. What are you supposed to do? Just walk out?
Walk out, baby. Out the door. See you later. Or, deliberately, in their face, sit there and say, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. You say the dhikr after salah, forget about these people. You advise the imam. And if you have the means to give a lecture and to advise him, stand up after salah, say, Ya Jama'at al Khair, Barakallah feekum, Wallahi, this is not from the sunnah. Then do so. But if you don't have the means, don't participate. Look, how many times did the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, lead the Sahaba in salah? Allahu A'lam, how many times? Not once, not even once, regardless of the occasion and the situation, he raised his hands after the salah, and everyone raised their hands and they said a congregational dua with a ameen. Not even once. If Allah loved it, if that dua would be accepted by Allah, this is the right time for the dua, the Messenger of Allah would have done it, or taught it, or approved it. None of these happen, it's a bid'ah. Even if the biggest Mawlana in the world does it, and his turban is from here to Chinatown, it's still a bid'ah. And we don't do it. We advise the people, we don't do it. The sunnah is you remember Allah and you go home. Pray the sunnah at home. There you are.
Also about supplication in jama'ah, in congregation, after the fard salah. Is this something from the sunnah he asked for?
We're all Muslims at large. We have to abide by a very interesting and beautiful Islamic bylaw with regards to worship or ibadat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, "Ittabi'u wa la tabtadi'u." Follow and do not innovate. Not a single narration, not a single hadith, not even a weak or fabricated hadith informed us that the Prophet ﷺ used to gather his companions after the prayer, or instructed them after the prayer to raise their hands and make congregational dua. People made up things and admitted them to the ibadat, which would be rejected. The Prophet ﷺ said in Aisha's hadith, رضي الله تعالى عنها وأرضاها, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Somebody's gonna pop up and say, Sheikh, but this is a good thing, isn't it? I say, it is, but it was not prescribed. As a matter of fact, don't you think it's a good thing to pray an extra raka'ah in Maghrib instead of leaving the poor Maghrib only three raka'ahs? Yeah, your mind might tell you that it's a good thing, but it will be rejected. The whole prayer will be invalid. So follow and do not innovate. Making dua is prescribed and described throughout your entire life. Anytime, raise your hands and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in times which you think that this time, it is a must to do this dua and in congregation because it is a part of the prayer. To the extent, ya akhi, some people think that after the salah, I have to turn right and left and shake hands and say haraman and jama'an. They think this is an inseparable part from the mandate of the prayer, which is not. Once somebody was praying with me in the haram, in haraman, which means, this is an Arabic tradition, we say, which means, may Allah grant us a prayer in the haram. I said, we're already here in the haram. You know, but it's a tradition that the Prophet ﷺ did not prescribe, nor did.
Jazakallah khair.
Okay, got a question here from Sister Zainab. She says, my question is about making dua after prayer. That's a supplication after the salah. She says, some people say this supplication, when you raise your hands straight after the salah with the imam, this is something not from Islam, basically, she writes.
With
here.
The imam?
After
okay, so the imam is making supplication after
the salah.
Okay.
So is this something from Islam? Is there evidence for this? Shaykh?
Okay. A general rule for every Muslim to follow, and you'll feel much, much comfortable when you apply this in any form of worship you are performing. And that is, whatever is introduced to you of worship, let's say prayer, supplication, fasting, whatever anybody introduces to you, ask for the evidence from the Quran or from the Sunnah. It's not the other way around. It's not when I come and say, this is an innovation. It's not logical for a person to say, give me the evidence. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not list a whole list of innovations and you just cross-examine them and say, well, this has been already mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ gave us a general rule, and that is, whoever innovates in the religion that is not part of my teaching, then this is rejected. Therefore, anyone claiming that this is a form of worship, he has to provide the evidence. Mm-hmm. If he fails to do this, then this is an innovation. Likewise, the sister is asking about a practice that is found in a number of Islamic countries, and that is, after the imam finishes or concludes his prayer, he looks either at the people behind him, or sometimes he, as he is, raises his hands after concluding the prayer and start to supplicate. Mm-hmm. Innovated supplications, and some of it is part of the sunnah, but the Prophet ﷺ had never done this before or after. And the people praying behind him would say Ameen, Ameen, Ameen as he goes on supplicating. It was never reported throughout the 10 years that the Prophet ﷺ had spent in Medina. Mm-hmm. And he used to pray five prayers, leading the five prayers, leading it, the congregation. Never ever was it reported that he had done this once. Neither did his four companions, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. And neither any of the companions had ever done such a thing. Therefore, we know, we understand, we can easily say without any hesitation that this is an innovation. And even if someone claims and said, well, this is something that is good, it's good innovation. Mm-hmm. We say that the Prophet ﷺ himself told us that every innovation is dalala, it's something that sets you astray. And it would take a person who innovates to hellfire. So he did not segregate and say, well, we have good innovations and we have bad innovations.
So what about the other scenario where the person actually just raises their hands by themselves after the salah? Is this something which is from the sunnah?
Again, the Prophet ﷺ never did this. Mm. And his companions had never done this. And besides, supplicating, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on his soul, he says that during prayer, before you conclude your prayer, this is the time for supplicating. And after you finish prayer, this is time for dhikr, for remembering Allah. And the evidence behind that is that the Prophet ﷺ, when he taught the companions how to say the tashahud and how to pray and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to praise the Prophet ﷺ at the very end of the salah, mm-hmm. he told them that after you finish this, before you conclude your prayer, before you offer the salam, you may supplicate as much as you want. And you can ask Allah anything you wish. So he told them and instructed them to make this period of prayer after the tashahud and before concluding the prayer to supplicate.
Specific for supplication.
Yes. And after salam, mm-hmm. he taught them how to make dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar, 3 times, reciting the ayatul kursi, the verse of kursi, and the last 3 chapters of the Quran, and so on.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is another question from a woman. When should we perform dua, since it is told that after first namaz, we cannot say dua?
You mean dua in congregation? Or general dua?
Yes,
I know what she. It is the habit now all over the world, and especially among Indians and Pakistanis and so on, that say that the moment they say Salaamu Alaikum, they make dua like that. Now the ulama said that the Prophet didn't do this. They didn't say that it's haram or so, but if you want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do what the Prophet used to do. After he says Salaamu Alaikum, what is the first thing that he says? Allahumma anta salam, minka salam, tabarakallahu. And so on. And then you make the tasbih. They said there are so many occasions on which the Prophet raised his hands and made dua. Some people say that the ahadith are mutawatir in which the Prophet raised his hand. But it's just habit that he didn't used to do this after every salah. The dua, you know where you make dua in salah? 3 places. When you say Allahu Akbar, you make dua. Allahu ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaka wa ba'adta bayna al-mashruq wal-maghrib. Allahumma naqqini min khatayaka wa yunaqqa al-thabul aw yudha min ad-dars. اللهم اغسلني من خطايا بالثلج والماء والبرد. ثاني شيء بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم and read سورة الفاتحة. When you make sujood, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that this is the nearest position, the nearest أقرب ما يكون العبد من, you will be nearest to Allah سبحانه وتعالى when you make sujood. So take this opportunity and make dua. After you finish tahiyyat and before you say assalamu alaikum, after you finish tahiyyat, make dua. These are the three places and recommended in the sunnah for dua. But then the zikr that you make after the salah, it in that zikr there is dua, but there is no dua in the sense of raising the hand like this, and especially making dua for other people. Neither the Prophet nor his companions used to do this. Now in many parts of the world, including my country, sometimes when I lead the prayer, say assalamu alaikum, and I stand up to go, everyone is surprised. They are waiting for something. They want me to make dua to us. But I know that this was not the sunnah. Assalamu alaikum.